Hello.
Hey.
You're listening to Peninsula Obscura. I'm Karina Kolb.
And I'm Rachel Peacock.
This is a podcast about the strange and unusual state of Florida.
We'll talk about Florida's weird history,
paranormal activity,
and of course, true crime.
Each week, one of us researches a topic, and then we talk about it in depth.
Let's dive in.
Welcome back.
We're back.
We had a wonderfully relaxing
spring break. We didn't take off of work. We just worked.
We just worked
and just not on the podcast,
but we did have a break. So that was nice.
It was nice. Thank you guys.
Thanks for coming back and listening. Episode number 23.
We're getting up there.
Yeah. Really exciting.
Isn't this like the Jordan year or something? Am I wrong about that? It's basketball.
I have no idea what that means. Oh, 23.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan year. Basketball number?
Yeah. It's like a Jordan year, people say. Maybe I'm really wrong on this. It could be Jordan 22.
Jordan year?
Yeah, because like when people turn 23, they like, or maybe.
Oh, I see.
Maybe I'm wrong.
So this is a Jordan episode?
Yeah. I could be wrong. It could have been the last episode. Yep, no, it's 23. Yeah. We're right. Ooh.
So.
Jordan episode. All about Michael Jordan.
Jordan episode. Yep. It's all about Michael
People
Jordan.
People that don't watch sports, we're going to talk about sports. Nope.
Psych.
That would actually be pretty funny or disturbing for people who like sports.
Yeah. Really disturbing. I couldn't even conjure up a sports conversation.
You play the ball down the field and hit the court.
Yes. First and 10, do it again, score. Gators, score. I don't know. I don't really know what first and 10 means. Okay.
I think.
You want to tell us?
I think it's first. Oh my God, I set myself up. If I'm wrong.
Oh, you're in trouble.
So it's first and 10. It means it's the first down and 10 yards to go.
Okay. Are you sure it's not the first yard and 10 downs to go?
I'm kidding.
Okay. Well, anyways, as you know, it's spring break season in Florida.
Yes.
And that means that the popular beach towns fill up with young people from across the country, all looking to party.
Panama City, y'all.
Daytona. Miami. I'm sure the Keys.
Yeah.
I think that Florida spring break parties are pretty infamous,
mm-hmm.
but nothing beats the party thrown by a certain young man on July 16th, 2011.
Oh.
So take yourself back to 2011. Where were you summer of 2011?
I was a fresh-faced junior in high school.
Oh.
I guess it was starting my junior.
Senior.
Yeah, rising senior. Yeah, you're right. Rising senior. So it was my last summer.
Last summer of high school.
Before graduation.
For me, it was my first summer out of high school.
Oh, wow.
Getting ready to go to college, going to UF preview.
Oh my God.
Fun stuff.
That is fun. I wasn't there yet. I was like, oh God, where am I going in college? I guess I have to apply now. That's my mentality that summer.
Well, I will say that I didn't go to any big house parties that summer that I can recall.
Me either. I was with family, so that's why
But I'm about to tell you all about a notorious house party.
Oh boy.
First, let me say that I think I have mentioned before that I have a lot of friends in the Martin County area.
Okay.
In Florida. And I think a couple of our episodes have taken place there at this point.
Yes, they flock there.
I just want to say, I swear I'm not doing it to appease my friends. I literally just think the area is cursed.
Yeah.
Because
that's
so many stories.
That was the episode we did on The Devil's Tree.
The Devil's Tree, yep.
Yeah, spooky.
Yes.
So more spooky?
Yeah, a little spooky. Okay. All right. So this didn't actually happen in Martin County. It happened in their neighboring and rival county, Port St. Lucie.
Ooh.
So to give you an idea of their rivalry, I've heard a couple of my friends refer to PSL as Pizzle. So.
Oh, shizzle my pizzle.
Not in that way.
Oh. What are you, like in piss. What way? Oh, like pizzle.
Yeah, pizzle.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, sorry if you live there. No offense. I didn't say that. It's just what I've heard. I have no opinion.
If you're a Floridian, we just count every county as our own.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're in that county and there's the rivalry, of course. But just know, we're all in this no Florida judgment. Man town together.
Exactly. Also, my main source for this episode is a Rolling Stone article that tells the story. And let me say that they don't paint Port St. Lucie in a particularly pleasant light either. So,
I mean, all the rock stars definitely don't come from Port St. Lucie. I don't know of any of them. I mean, Gainesville has Tom Petty, but.
And Bo Diddley.
And Bo Diddley.
They're not, he's not from Gainesville, but he's
outside of Gainesville. Oh, he's not. I thought he was like from outside of Gainesville, but I could.
He was not born in Archer, Florida, but he did live there, and I don't know. He died there.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Anyways, regardless. Here is a quote from the Rolling Stones article about Port St. Lucie. Quote: "There was never anything going on in Port St. Lucie. The city, 40 miles north of West Palm Beach, was a tomb designed for the soon-to-be entombed."
What?
"It had half a dozen golf courses, twice as many assisted living homes, 7 funeral homes, 2 bingo halls, and a shuffleboard club."
Not the shuffleboard club.
"There was no access to the beach, no downtown, and no place for teenagers to hang out at night other than a giant arcade called Super Play USA. Which advertises itself as a state-of-the-art family playground. Even the parks were closed at night."
Okay.
So.
So, boring town. Kids get bored. Do the party thing, right?
Yeah. The point is, on a weekend night in the middle of the summer, the teenagers of Port St. Lucie were dead bored. So, when one of their classmates posted on his Facebook that he was throwing a party, no one hesitated to attend. Sure, nobody really knew the guy, and yeah, he was like a little weird and pretty quiet, but he said his parents were out of town and the mall closed at 8, so it was that or McDonald's.
It's time. It's that or McDonald's. Or what was the arcade?
Or Super Play USA.
I like how it's like not just Super Play, it's just Super Play USA. This is USA. Get your coins or get your ticks.
Get your ticks.
Tickets. Oh no. Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting wild up in Port St. Lucie.
So the name of the kid throwing the party was Tyler Hadley. And his actual friends were a little more skeptical because Tyler wasn't really the party throwing kind of person. One friend, Ashley Hayes, messaged him on Facebook, quote, "Whoa, what? What if your parents come home?" "They won't," he replied. "Trust me."
He's very sure.
He's very sure they won't come home. Maybe they're out of town.
Yeah.
Around 11:30 p.m., the party really kicked off when a group of 10 or so popular kids showed up. When Tyler answered the door, he seemed anxious, weird, but essentially completely rolling. So it was clear that he had taken ecstasy.
Oh, God.
Pupils dilated and, you know, anxious energy, rubbing his hands together.
Just the kind of guy you want to go party with, right?
Apparently, Tyler and his friends had kind of a reputation as being druggies or stoners or whatever, kind of weird guys, but everyone showed up to the party regardless. He told people not to smoke inside. It's my parents' house, he said. The party quickly grew to 60 people, and Tyler started telling people to go inside instead, more worried that the neighbors would call the cops because of the noise. 60 plus kids packed inside and made themselves at home. People played beer pong on the dining room table and laughed when bottles fell on the floor and shattered. Cigarettes were extinguished on the rug, the kitchen counter, the wall.
Oof. Nasty.
Yeah.
He said no smoking, people.
But Tyler didn't really seem to notice, and the house was already a wreck. They played a YouTube playlist for music from the computer nook in the dining room, which every early 2000s kid knows the computer nook.
I've not thrown a rager like this one, but I've definitely played off of a YouTube playlist.
From your family's computer.
Yep.
That was out in the family area.
Yes.
But the thing was that the keyboard was like sticky.
Ugh.
And covered in a brownish dried liquid.
Ooh.
So like maybe Coke or beer.
Ew.
I don't know.
Okay, so whoever made the playlist obviously was nasty.
Or, well, basically the house was already pretty dirty.
Okay.
And Tyler just kind of stood awkwardly by the wall next to his mother's computer and, like, wasn't talking to his friends or anything for most of that time.
He was tripping.
By midnight, there were 100 people at the party. The house smelled like sweaty, unwashed clothes.
Ooh.
The tile floors were grimy. Picture frames had fallen from the wall or left askew.
Damn.
In the kitchen, dirty dishes caked with Easy Mac piled up. His brother was away at college, but his room was turned upside down. Clothes and blankets were strewn across the floor, and the bed frame was cracked. So this house is being trashed by these kids. I mean, it's not a very big house, you know, it's not a mansion. So 100 people in an average, like, three-bedroom house.
Walking through and partying and spilling everywhere and putting out their cigarettes and smoking. And that sounds nasty. It sounds like a college party, but
even at college parties,
they're a little more respectful.
People are more respectful.
Yeah.
These people were partying like
there
would be no consequences.
Yeah, that's messed up that they're like, oh, this kid's parents are gone. Like, let's just, like, fuck shit up.
But Tyler wasn't stopping anyone either. Yeah. He, like, wasn't getting mad.
Well, maybe that's why, because people were just dumb and drunk and high, and they were just running into shit.
During a game of beer pong, the ball bounced to the floor and rolled into a sticky brown substance. While grossed out, the players didn't think much of it and just rinsed it off before resuming the game.
Okay. One time.
Oh, no.
I was... Okay. Well, in college, you're bound to maybe go into a fraternity house, which is probably just as disgusting as this place is sounding. Now, I was about to play beer pong at said fraternity house. This is the first time, my first time in college and, like, my first time at a fraternity party. And I don't know have you been in one, Karina?
No.
Okay. Well, you're not missing anything.
I was in the improv club. So
yeah, I mean, like, really that cool. Was much more, that's better than what I saw. But anyways, so a lot of these fraternity houses, I mean, the guys live there, but their downstairs is like, looks nice-ish.
Right.
But then upstairs, you get up, like, sometimes when they're upstairs, it's just like their rooms are like trash and they're
a bunch of
decorated with weird things. And
yeah.
Playboy. So anyways, each room had like a different theme kind of, and then so we walked through like two of the rooms, and interconnected between them is the bathroom. And what was in the toilet? The beer pong balls. And I was like, okay, so like, I can't trust any of these. trusting nothing in here. They could have dropped cups. They're probably really nasty. They probably
holy
like
shit,
isn't that nasty?
Fuck? That's disgusting. disgusting.
I know. It's like, it just reminded me of that. Oh, like, yeah, but like, there's my little story for you kids.
Yeah, man. I mean, I feel like, yeah.
don't trust a beer pong ball.
Everybody at this party was super lit and like unconcerned because, yeah, they just rinsed off whatever goopy liquid was on. Like, they were unconcerned.
It just makes
cannot me, relate.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, that was, yeah.
Ugh, that's awful.
Nasty. I hope they use soap.
No, they didn't. Not according to this article. The only room not open to the party was the master bedroom. It remained locked all night. One kid, looking for a place to get high, tried to open the door and noticed a foot-long black smear under the doorway.
Black smear?
It, quote, looked like an oil-based paint that someone had tried unsuccessfully to wipe away.
Okay, suspicious.
All night, people were asking Tyler where his parents were. Here's directly from Rolling Stone. Quote, they went to Georgia, he told Mark Andrews. They're in Orlando, he told Ryan Stone Cipher. They don't live here, Tyler told Richard Wouters. This is my house. Tyler mentioned to Ashley Gershom that his father had died. Ashley, who didn't know Tyler very well, assumed he meant his father had passed away a long time ago.
What?
Most people said that Tyler seemed calm the whole time. Even when his parents' house got completely trashed. Which, even if you're rolling on ecstasy, you have some level of consequence. You're like, don't want to get completely like sent to military camp, school. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I feel like he should have at least stopped the picture frames. That's really bad. Like
the cigarette butts in the walls.
In the walls. Like you, the first one, if it was one, maybe you could have stopped and then everybody would have stopped. But I mean, how much control do you have when you have 100 people in your house? It's crazy.
It's a very good point. It's a very good point.
It's like you see in your head a picture from like a movie where it's the typical rager and like the kids are going through and like you have the kid that his house and like they broke something or they broke
the vase
and right. they're like trashing something. So it's like interesting that he's being weird.
Yeah, he's not reacting. In fact, the only thing that freaked him out was the potential that the cops might get called on the party. He kept ushering kids who were smoking on the lawn back inside. And at one point, one of the partygoers ran in wielding a mailbox that he had stolen from a neighbor's yard.
What the heck? These kids are wild.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bunch of middle class white suburban kids in a town
where there's nothing to do. Just nothing but trouble to do.
Nothing
you know?
But trouble.
Those damn kids stole my mailbox again.
The mailbox thing really freaked Tyler out.
I mean, I would be too because it's a neighbor's mailbox too.
Well, and apparently he yelled at the kid that stealing a mailbox is a felony. So he was like freaked out by that.
Oh.
So somebody eventually did return it to the street, though. I don't know if they put it back
yeah,
when they
found
like, it.
Yeah, they probably leaned it up and then it fell over and they're like,
right.
Shit, and then they just ran off.
So he seemed calm through all this, but to his closer friends, Tyler was not calm. He seemed very off.
Okay.
Rolling Stone recounts a couple of strange interactions between Tyler and his friends. Quote, as Mark Andrews was leaving the party, Tyler asked if they could speak privately. Tyler went outside and ordered all the kids standing there to get back in the house so that his neighbors wouldn't call the cops. Once everyone was inside, Tyler turned to Mark. Dude, I did some things. I might go to prison. I might go away for life. I don't know, dude. I'm freaking out right now. What are you talking about? Said Mark. Dude, I don't know. You're not going to believe me. No one will believe me. I freaking killed somebody.
What?
Dude, you killing somebody is your own business, said Mark. Don't be telling me that sort of thing. I do not need to know.
Oh, my God. This guy's like, no. He's like, I just came to party.
I did not ask, bro.
I didn't sign up for this.
And yeah, I mean, and Tyler's high. Like, yeah. He's at this point drunk and high. Yeah,
so he's not going to take him seriously.
And freaking people out. So, yeah, people are, it's a mixed thing.
Yeah.
To continue, Tyler returned to the house and ran into Ricardo Acevedo, an 18-year-old who had met Tyler just that night. Thanks for having us over, said Ricardo, and thanks for the beer. I just wanted to do something fun before I left, said Tyler. Where are you going? I'm going to kill myself, said Tyler.
Oh, my God.
Why would you do that? Because I did something really bad. What'd you do? It can't be that bad. Don't worry, said Tyler. If I get caught, I'll be in jail a long time.
Oh, Tyler. What'd you do, buddy?
In his bedroom, Tyler found Kimberly Theobin, a 20-year-old who was close friends with Tyler. She lived two houses down the street. I'm going away for 60 years, he told Kimberly. His voice seemed to come from a faraway place. Why, she'd asked. He said she'd find out tomorrow.
God.
So he is acting weird.
Yeah.
He's freaking his friends out.
Sounds like he's paranoid, but also, like, paranoid people don't talk about them going away. Or them doing something bad. I mean, maybe they do a little bit. I don't know.
It's usually like
not really around
external.
These.
It's usually like
it's like
things are getting
like
me.
The cops are coming. Yeah. Or like they're gonna get me. Or yeah.
Right, exactly. Not I did something.
Yeah, it's so suspicious. Wow.
Tyler was clearly haunted by something that he'd done, and he couldn't get it off his mind.
Yeah.
Around 1 a.m., he pulled his best friend Michael Mandel outside so they could talk in private.
He just is like grabbing all his friends, like,
That's what I mean. He's like,
it's the guilt
clearly
is hitting him.
Racked yeah. with guilt. He proceeded to tell his best friend Michael everything.
Uh oh.
He told Michael that around 5 p.m. that afternoon, Tyler took 3 ecstasy pills and put on some music. He was worried that what he was about to do, he wouldn't be able to do sober. Then he took his parents' cell phones and hid them.
Oh,
so that they
boy.
Couldn't call for help.
No, Tyler. Okay.
This is not
so
funny.
It's disturbing in
it's
the
disturbing.
Sense.
It's shocking.
Disturbing in the sense that he said, I was about to do something that I knew that I couldn't do sober.
Yes.
Now, that's like even more disturbing because whatever he's doing, it wasn't by accident because he was.
Yes.
Like
exactly.
under the influence. Very, he had yeah. planned before. That's even more disturbing.
Yes. There's some. What's the word? The crime ward. There's been
premeditation. Yeah.
And the fact that he had the foresight to hide his parents' cell phones.
Yes, that's
is
red flag.
Red flag. So, warning, this is about to get real fucked up, but I think you guys are used to it at this point.
God, here we go.
He grabbed a claw hammer from the garage and headed inside. His mother, Mary Jo, was working on the family computer. He stood behind her while she worked as a minute passed. Then 5 minutes passed. Suddenly, he raised the claw end of the hammer and brought it down on his mother's head. All she could do was scream, why?
Oh, God, no.
Hearing Mary Jo's screams, Tyler's father, Blake Hadley, ran out of his bedroom. Although Blake was a large guy, 6'1 and 300 pounds, he couldn't act. In shock, he froze and asked Tyler, why? Why the fuck not? Screamed Tyler as he charged at his father. He asked the question over and over while beating Blake to death with the claw end of the hammer.
Horrible.
Yes. Later, Tyler wrapped towels around his parents' heads and dragged their bodies into the master bedroom. He laid them side by side, face down, tossing the hammer down between them. He then went through the house, picking up any piece of incriminating evidence and throwing it on top of his parents' corpses. The bloody towels and pillowcases, a sponge mop, Clorox wipes, the coffee table, but also books, dishes, glasses, and a canister of coffee grounds. It took him 3 hours in all to clean. Then Tyler took a shower and, quote, he told Michael, he stared at his reflection in the bathroom mirror and laughed.
What? Oh, I'd hate to be that friend that's listening to him Michael, tell him that.
I know.
I just started like backing away slowly and like dialing 911 because that's like.
And like your friend's telling you this. Well, completely high out of his mind.
Yeah.
So very under the influence. Crazed at the, like, you know, that anxious energy. So here's a picture of Michael and Tyler from that night. Come see. So Tyler's the one holding the orange cup.
Oh, God.
Ugh. Pretty spooky picture.
I think... Yeah, his eyes almost look like solemn.
Yeah, he
like,
looks
kind of like dead-eyed.
Yeah, he definitely, the expression on his face is definitely disturbing. Honestly, yeah. It's hard to look at the picture for a long time because it's one of those pictures that like stares into your soul.
Yeah, because it seems like the friend, he's just like, no, it looks like a normal like
right,
party
like
pic.
Like how you'd pose
like,
for a pic, yeah.
It just like, I wonder if you showed that picture to someone, be like, hey, does this look weird to you? Or like, don't preface it with that and just be
right.
Like, what do you think about this picture? If they would be like, yeah, that's kind of weird. Or if they would just be like, oh, it's just two guys at a party. Because you can, I mean, even though their expressions are, both of them look like they've been drinking or that they've been possibly doing drugs because they're just like sweaty and
yeah.
It just is, the eyes of Tyler are very disturbing. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Like, I don't know why, like, his face looks like a grimace, not a grimace, but like.
Yeah, it looks like, yeah, no, I
like it's kind of look long and
yeah,
like,
and
it looks
sad.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of empty.
Yeah. Kind of like, I don't want to say skull because obviously they both have like humans
I mean, it
have
is.
Skull,
it's,
but because of like his thin face,
yeah.
And it's like kind of sunken in a little bit. It looks a little,
yeah,
a little like a skull or like a creepy man. But I
it's,
mean,
it's spooky.
It is spooky. I don't like it. I don't like this at all.
Here's a picture of the very brutal murder weapon.
Bad.
Yeah, no, I don't mean to laugh, but Rachel's reaction. Yes, it's fucked up. It's more than like a normal hammer. It looks like a tenderizing hammer, like
yeah, like you
for
like
meat? Butchering.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
it's a thick like
yeah.
Like yeah,
it's for,
if you were to
like,
butcher like a bull cow or something.
Like metal. Yeah, like when you're
why.
Shaping metal, like
yeah.
You use it, it's a little more, it has little grooves. Almost like a grid
like those, yeah.
On the front of
and
the
it's
hammer.
Clawed on the back.
Yeah. And when I swear, every time someone says claw hammer, I'm like, what is that? But it's actually just a regular hammer. And because it has the two prongs on the other side,
yes,
that's
the claw.
The claw.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's for explainer for anybody
yeah.
That's like me, when you hear claw hammer and you're like, never heard of that. That's
like,
what it is. Because in my head,
it's
I'm just like,
hammer.
It's a hammer.
Yeah, most hammers, most hammers that are in your toolkit look like.
Yeah.
Here is a photo, of a partial
kid,
photo of
man.
The crime scene.
Ooh.
The master bedroom.
Oh God.
So
was that where the parents were?
Yeah.
On the floor there, or was that just on the floor near them?
I think that this is where they were on the floor, but this is. After all of the stuff that was on top of them had been removed.
Yeah.
Because I'll show you a picture.
He was just throwing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I'll show you a picture of all the stuff.
Damn. Oh my God.
So you see, like
this
chairs? Is the part of the picture that right here in the lower left corner that the other picture showed. But and you can see like the sheets like are bloody.
Like, it looks like he trashed the place. Like, I mean, he threw a bunch of shit.
Okay, I have there. A couple of comments. Two terrifying clown pictures on the walls.
Oh my god.
Cursed. Absolutely cursed.
Cursed.
Clown pictures. But not to make light of it. It does look like a unhinged person did this. Yeah. It's more than just cleaning. It's all kinds of shit. Chairs, potted plants.
It's insane. Drawers. What is that? Yeah, it was like that like plastic drawer bin thing. Yeah,
like a plastics organizer.
Strewn about.
I mean, wrapping paper, all kinds of shit. It's just piled
in there.
And they're at the bottom of the pile.
That is odd.
So it's like something kind of broke in his brain where he was like, he just tried to hide them from his mind. I don't know. Because it's not just like he cleaned the house and it's all the stuff he cleaned with. It's much worse.
Yeah, it's like a total psychotic breakdown.
Yeah.
It's like where someone comes in and searches your house and throws everything about, but it's weird because he's bringing stuff from other rooms and throwing it in.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like that, except you're doing it to your own house.
Yeah.
And throwing it on top of your parents that you just killed, which is utterly disturbing.
And then
hours later, and then throwing this party. Karina, this is wild.
Yes. Yes.
Jeez.
I know. And this kid is our age. Was a junior in high school.
Wow.
So yikes.
Big yikes. I'm so sorry for his parents. Like, why? Why did he do it? Why did he want to do that to them?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to I'll tell you the rest of it, and then we'll have to talk about it.
Okay.
The cops did eventually get called on the party, but only once it was winding down. But to them, this was just another house party in a suburban neighborhood. So when Tyler answered the door, they just asked him to keep it down and left.
Oh, yeah.
Because like they didn't. Little did they know.
Well,
little
it's
did
also they know. I feel like not that it's small town, but it's like I feel like a lot of towns like that, they're either really harsh about it and be like, "You're drinking, like we're arresting you," or they're just like, "All right,
yeah, exactly.
It's fine. We know you guys do this, but we don't want anybody to go to jail."
I think in this case,
it was that
it's an affluent neighborhood,
yeah,
predominantly white, and I mean like the whole town, 96%
wow,
white. So like, there's a lot less tension with the police, I guess. A lot less because there's a lot less profiling.
Yeah.
So they're just letting kids get away with whatever the fuck. Clearly. By 3 a.m., the party was over and everyone had moved on, except Tyler, who is now alone in his house with the murdered corpses of his parents. At 4:40 a.m., Tyler... Yeah. So more than an hour and a half later, Tyler posted to his Facebook wall, "Party at my house again. Hit me up." So he's trying to get people to come back over.
This is that same night?
That same night.
Oh, God.
He can't be alone with himself. But it's like 4 a.m., so no one's going to show up.
Yeah.
At that very moment, however, police officers were walking up his driveway, running the plates of the cars outside. One car was Tyler's, another was registered to Mary Jo, and the other was Blake Hadley. So his parents hadn't gone anywhere, clearly.
Mm.
What happened was Michael, his friend, called Crime Stoppers.
Good.
And told them everything.
Thank God.
Yes. Yes.
He told his story, but if he hadn't told anybody and like...
I mean, I think... Based on the fact that he was walking around telling people shit.
Yeah.
He wanted to get caught.
He wanted to get caught, yeah.
He was like racked in guilt at that point and realized what he had done.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of, you know, so even I think subconsciously by telling Michael everything. Of course he's gonna go tell the cops. You think he's your friend who's just another teenager is gonna just live with that?
Yeah, he's just gonna be like,
he can just be haunted by that forever.
That's a crazy story. No, yeah, I'm glad he called.
As the officers walked up to the door, they could hear someone talking inside the house. They saw through the front bay window the shadow of a person walking back and forth. One officer peered through the blinds. Tyler was pacing across the living room, talking to himself, with a, quote, very disturbing look on his face. His eyes were wide, and he was not blinking.
Oh.
The officer watched as Tyler grabbed a stack of books from a bookshelf near the front door and walked them back into the master bedroom. After saying something unintelligible, he dumped the books on the floor. He walked back and forth getting more and more books until the officers finally knocked on the front door and rang the bell. There was no answer. The rest of the lights in the house went off. Then Tyler answered the door. So yeah, he's still covering. He's just now he's alone in his house. And I imagine that's when more of the stuff started getting piled on top of. Yeah,
I wonder if it was just his like way to like distract himself from what he had done. Right, and just to make it go away. Cover.
If he could just stop seeing their bodies, then it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
The cops drew their guns and ordered Tyler to put up his hands and step out of the house. They checked him for weapons, then ordered him to the ground and handcuffed him. Tyler Hadley was given life in prison. Because he was a minor at the time, he avoided the Florida death penalty.
Wow.
Tyler's attorney went with the defense that his immaturity or troubled youth, marked by anxiety, depression, and drug use, influenced his decision to kill. However, the judge rejected it, saying, quote, while casually talking to his friends about killing his parents a month and a half before the actual crimes, he revealed that he would wait until after his brother moved to North Carolina, the judge noted, and wait he did. So apparently he had mentioned that he wanted to kill his parents to his friends, but none of them ever took it seriously. Jeez. Because what angry, angsty teen doesn't say, I wish my parents were dead? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they kind of took it as that. But yeah. I guess he said, if I did do it, I would wait till my brother moved. I don't know. He didn't want to kill his brother. Quote, the judge noted Hadley took his parents' phones and hid them. So if his plan went awry, they couldn't call for help. The judge seemed incensed that after the murders, Hadley hid the bodies, tried to clean up the blood, and, quote, sent out word that a party was on. This was all reported by Treasure Coast newspapers. So, yeah, that they...
He's been planning.
The judge was not having it, basically. Yeah. It was premeditated. The fact that he had a party afterwards shows, like, no remorse, even if he felt guilty afterwards, you know.
Yeah.
It's
he didn't like turn
the actions are so or... yeah, exactly, the actions are so disturbing that they
it's just like
had to get a life sentence basically in the judge's mind.
That's yeah.
And they mentioned his defense about anxiety, depression, and drug use. He was depressed, had been Baker acted before, so he had been forcibly admitted to a mental hospital by his parents.
Damn.
But his parents never thought that he was violent, and they just did that because they thought he was, you know, more likely going suicidal. To complete suicide. Yeah, exactly, suicidal. So, but yeah, he was doing drugs. I don't know.
Wow.
They don't really have a motive. He doesn't really list a motive, you know? Wow. He says a lot of different stuff. Like, the drugs did it, you know? The drugs made me do it.
The drugs didn't make you do it. You said before.
Exactly.
That you took it because so that he could do it.
Didn't have the courage to do it. Here is a short clip of Tyler's interview with a forensic neuropsychologist.
How has the death of your parents affected you?
How has it affected me?
Mm-hmm.
I miss him. Like, I wish I would have, like, right now, I wish I could talk to him and know them more than what I did. Because I didn't really know them well as people. And that kind of makes me depressed about that. Like, I wish I would have known them more as people instead of just mom and dad. You know, like I never really seen them as real people. Because now that I'm around people that are their age, I'm like, damn, you know, maybe I could have, you know, they were probably just like you. You know, I could have talked to them about things more than just, like, basic teenage kid stuff.
That's really sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad because, I mean, like he says, he didn't really think of them as being people. And I think that, you know, not to be an armchair psychologist, but I think that a lot of kids don't realize that their parents have lives and are people for a while.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure everybody does to a certain point, and then they realize.
Exactly, and then they grow up and realize. Mm-hmm. And that kind of allowed him to disassociate from them, you know, when he did commit the act of murder. He didn't have to view them as people.
Yeah, he was just viewing them as probably authoritative figures that obviously maybe they punished him for doing stuff or reprimanded him for doing his teenager, like not, like just not revolting, but
rebelling.
Rebelling, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and when asked, his friends did say that his parents were really hard on him. Not that that's an excuse by any means.
No.
It didn't sound like they were abusive, you know, but, you know, he was troubled. He wasn't a popular kid. He was clearly not good at expressing his emotions.
Yeah.
He had been caught, like, setting fire to a couch out in the woods with a bunch of other teenage boys, which you're like, okay,
that sounds like a teenager thing.
Yeah, that's ill-advised, but ultimately harmless. Yeah. Like, you're not hurting anyone, it's a couch, but not great. Just one of those out-of-control, bored teenagers. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. It's sad. I think there's a lot to be said about youth and their mental health, because I think for a long time it's a lot, obviously getting a lot better now, and more people are recognizing mental health as a health issue.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people think it's a myth, and not like not a myth, but
but not like it's not actual real medical disorder, but attention seeking, or you know, that kind of thing.
I think a screw obviously went loose, but it's always almost like a tragedy when it's someone that's so young, because this obviously this troubled kid is going to be in prison for life.
Yeah.
And it's just like now that he's getting older, he's realized probably that he did wrong. I hope he realizes that he did wrong. And It's a little depressing.
Yeah, it's depressing. Like, I don't think that that there's any excuse for murder.
No.
But
there's also always but also it's
there are factors that lead to it sometimes. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's fucked up. It's a nightmare violent act.
It is. And as murderers, a lot of them have issues as young kids, and
yeah, I don't know.
You get hit in the head, and they
get scary shit. Like, the thing I feel like people like talking about murders and serial killers is because, like, there often is no motive, and it is, like, kind of horrifying to think that someone can do that without a valid reason.
Yeah.
But it happens. People do it.
Yeah,
people
it's inhumane, and almost it feels so unnatural.
Yeah.
So it's it gets into the mind.
Yeah, man.
I don't know, the power of thinking and belief of doing something so wrong, as messed up as it is, but there's some underlying issues usually. And even though it sounds like Tyler didn't really, we can't figure out the motive. We don't really know what his life was like living with his parents. Like, there's nothing points to, I think, from what you said, points to them abusing him or anything.
Yeah, and like that's the thing, like, people who are depressed people who have been abused, they don't murder their parents. Like,
no, they're
this, there's something else. There's something else.
Yeah, it's either
you don't need to do that.
They were trying to help him, and he just didn't want help, or something went amiss. That's sad.
Needless to say, that party that 100 teenagers in Port St. Lucie attended, what went down in history as simultaneously the worst and craziest party of all time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I'd do. That's just, I mean,
I don't know if you caught it when I was telling the story, but that brown substance that kids kept coming across was blood.
Nasty. You mean it wasn't beer and it wasn't chocolate pudding? I don't know.
I
that's sad.
I hate to rip off the Rolling Stone further. And by the way, read the article. It's a lot longer and there's a lot more stuff that I didn't include. So it's not like a perfect summary of the article. Please go read it. But I will end with the quote that they ended with. When Anthony Snook found out about the Hadley murders, he thought, wow, I just went to the party of a lifetime. It's messed up what he did, but 20 years from now, I'll be able to say I was there. I hate Port St. Lucie, but that's kind of cool. Just, Jesus. How bad is your town?
I hate Port St. Lucie. How fucking bad
is your town if you're like, well, at least I went to the party where the kid murdered his parents.
Yeah, that's
fuck Port St. Lucie, but at least so I went back.
That's so messed up. I'd be like, Christ. I never want to think about that party ever again. I
can't believe it.
Like, I need to go talk to my therapist about that party because I'm having bad dreams about it again.
I mean, yeah, trauma.
Jeez, that's...
But yeah, these are like, just goes to show. Cursed. Yeah, that's the way I'm cursed. Telling you.
My thing, now, maybe his parents had something weird with clowns and those clown paintings made him do it. But that is not.
That's those clown paintings are very freaky.
I am anti-clown paintings. Let me tell you, like, those are not meant. Those are meant to be burned.
Yeah.
I mean, put those up on your wall.
I can't. I wonder
creepy as hell.
Yeah. I wonder where they are now. They're freaky. No one should own paintings of clowns. And even ironically.
They have it in their bedroom.
Yeah, in their bedroom.
I'm not trying to shame these victims.
I know, they're victims. It's horrible. But also, you can have bad taste.
Yeah.
Jesus, forgive me. But yeah, it's two nightmare clown paintings looking over their bed. I just...
yeah, that's...
That's scary.
Not to be... But anyways, rest in peace, those... The couple, the parents. Yeah, that's a horrible really sense of murder.
And they
family
have,
has got to be the brother. The brother. Too. That's rough.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
I'm so sorry to that family.
Yeah. Well.
Yep.
Gotta end it somehow.
Yeah.
It's over. Stop listening.
Wash your hands. Coronavirus. Stop listening.
Bye.
All the music for our podcast is provided by The Murmurs and their album Get Swell Soon. You can listen to The Murmurs on Spotify or find them on their Bandcamp page.
If you're interested in learning more about us, you can visit our website at peninsulaobscura.com and check out our Instagram at peninsulaobscura. You can listen to our podcast on most platforms, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts.